Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Please consider the words of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where the writer of Hebrews, a divinely inspired writer of Hebrews, says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In that particular context, he's speaking of how God is always with us, those that are His, that is, and that God will also judge all whoremongers and adulterers. And so we're to let our conversation or our way of life be without covetousness, and to be content with such things as we have, because we have Him, we have everything. He, according to Genesis 15:1, is our exceeding great reward. I want you to memorize that. I want you to meditate upon that and get that in your spirit, that Jesus Christ is our exceeding great reward. A lot of people today follow false teachings that basically make Jesus Christ out to be a Santa Claus, and so they serve Him for what He can give them. I've had them even tell me, God's blessing me financially because I give to His kingdom. And that's what it's all about for them. It's like they're serving a pagan god by doing rites, R-I-T-E-S, and paying homage to that idol, false god, in order to get the crops to grow and to produce and stuff like this. These people are idolaters in the eyes of a holy God, and they think they're serving the Lord, but they're serving the god of mammon and making Jesus Christ out to be something that He isn't. You see, the Bible said He is our full sufficiency. His grace is sufficient for us. He's our exceeding great reward, and a multitude of other things that we learn as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why it's so important to study God's word, because then you learn who God is by His own words and out of His own mouth, if you will. Let me ask you, have you ever had anybody in your life that was mischaracterized to you or misrepresented, and then you met that person later and realized, wow, those were a bunch of lies about this person? You know, I think we've all probably been there. There's a devil loose in the earth, and he finds a lot of people he can use. And so they can paint somebody into a black corner or into some image that they really aren't. And that's what old wives' fables do. And that's what Satan, the accuser of the brethren and the enemy of our Lord, does. And so we've got to be careful. That's why the Bible says to not follow philosophy, vain deceit, the traditions of men, or fables, which are fictitious stories that sound good, if you will, but they're not accurate. We're to follow the Word of God. We're to see who God is by peering through the window of His Word and into His Word to find out who He is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. I am the Lord, I change not, says the book of Malachi 3, verse 6. And so, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, our exceeding great reward, the one who, as we read in this passage in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, that He will judge the wicked. He will judge the wicked, the whoremongers. What is a whoremonger? Any man who goes after a woman that he's not married to for sexual fornication. Anybody viewing pornography that's not repented, and if you repent, you stop doing that, is a whoremonger. You're mongering after whores that have presented themselves in that way. They're Satan's daughters. They're not God's daughters, who are modest. And adulterers, God will judge. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God is going to judge all adulterers. Now, adultery doesn't happen in the physical or in the human being's mind, because Jesus said if you look on a woman to lust, or in the case of women, if they look on a man to lust, they've already committed adultery in the eyes of a holy, holy, holy God. It is something that happens within James 1, 13 through 15. You see? Now, sin like this only happens when we have adulterated on God. We have turned our affections away from our first love, Jesus Christ. And now we have another God before us. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. So when I alienate the affections of my heart away from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my exceeding great reward, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then I have committed spiritual adultery on the Lord. It doesn't happen in the mind or in the actions until it first happens in the heart, which the Bible says is the source. Actually, that's the Hebrew definition, if you look it up, of heart is the source of man, the very innermost being of that man or woman. So God will judge. God has not changed. And then he says in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, the Lord has continually said throughout history in so many ways that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he is there to protect us, to provide for us. We're to forget not all of his benefits. We're not to limit the Holy One of Israel. All of the Word of God, the full counsel from Genesis to Revelation, holds so many beautiful stories about how God heard the prayers of his people and responded and brought salvation and brought deliverance and brought provision to them. God will never leave you or forsake you, and you can drink in his word as if he's standing before you. God does not change. If Jesus Christ was on the earth today, he would do the same exact things that he did that we read about in, especially namely in the four gospels, that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he's also Emmanuel, God with us. He came in the flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1. And what we read about in all of those magnificent accounts, when we read through the gospels, that is the same thing. Those things are the exact same thing that our Lord would be doing if he was on the earth today in the flesh. There's no difference. And so we're to follow him. We're to listen to his divine will is, to what his divine nature is. We're partakers of the divine nature through the exceeding great and precious promises of this beloved word of God that we're talking about, the precepts of God, the oracles of God. And that's 2 Peter 1:3-4, that we are partakers of the divine nature. We can apprehend and understand by the Holy Spirit the divine nature of God through the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord. In fact, that same book, 2 Peter 1:19-21, tell us, and we have also a more sure word of prophecy. See, the Bible calls the written scriptures a more sure word of prophecy. A lot of folks get all excited about prophetic words and stuff, and the Bible says, despise not prophesyings. So prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. You know, we're not to despise it. There's an authentic, but there's also a lot of false prophecies, false revelations, false dreams and visions, false prophets that are behind these. They lead either a few or many. To be a false prophet, you don't have to lead a million people. You see, you can just mislead one and you're a false prophet. And that bears itself out in the New Testament. But the thing is, they take people's emphasis off of the written word. They don't put it on the written word. You see, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11, and that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word, the pure milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. A false prophet is one that does not get you into God's word. They want you following them. They want you dependent upon them. They want to be the man or woman of the hour. They want you following their visions, their supposed visions from God, their supposed words from God and revelations, you see. And so they put the emphasis on, and just by the simple absence of preaching the word and that people need to get into word, they are revealing themselves to be false, because it's not about them. It's not about their gifting. No, it's about the King of the kingdom of God, the one who is the judge of every human eternal soul. You see, they don't have nail scarred hands and feet. I don't have nail scarred hands and feet. I need Jesus at least as much as you need Jesus. We must repent of our idolatry and return. That's what repent means, to return, turn again to the Lord. How many times did Israel have to return to the Lord? God wants us to return to the Lord, and this time to have unbroken fellowship with him. come as we abide in Christ according to the prescription given in His Word. So 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I want you to read that carefully this week. Pour over this passage today. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the written word of God, whereunto ye do well that you take heed. We're to take heed to the written word of God and search the scriptures. Why? So that we find out more about our Lord who saved us, and we have His instruction, His will, His ways, His nature in us. That's why we have His word, the King James Bible. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, the light of the word of God, the light of the one who is the light of the world, the words of the one who is the light of the world, shine into the darkness of our hearts. In fact, and into the darkness of this world, to guide you down that narrow path that leads to life. In fact, Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." The entrance of His words brings light into the darkness of our hearts, into the darkness of this world. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Until the day dawn and the day star, Jesus Christ, arise in your heart. You see, when you begin to get into Word, the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord, the day is going to dawn. In other words, the truth of who the Lord is going to begin to dawn on your heart and mind. God is going to begin to reveal Himself to you, to your heart and mind, through the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. But that's only as you take heed unto the light of the Word of God that shines in the darkness of your heart and into the darkness of this world and all that's going on around you to draw you away from Him. Let me tell you, it's going to be those who have gotten saved and stayed in the Word that are going to be with Jesus, and all others are going to be in the lake of fire. Even those that got saved, like the five foolish virgins, and refused to keep their lamp, their vessel, that's your heart, your spirit, your mind, full of the Lord. And the way you do that is by taking what He painstakingly made available to you, His Word, in the 66 glorious books of Holy Scripture, in the canon of Scripture, and you break that bread every day. You get up and you seek God, and you pour out your heart before Him, and you pray according to His Word, and you praise Him according to His blessed precepts. As you study His Word, study to show yourself approved, you search the Scriptures, you desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word of God. Verse 20, 2 Peter 1, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." For, in other words, every Christian, every true Christian has the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit living in them. And Jesus said that He will lead and guide you into all truth. Jesus said He is your only ultimate teacher. That doesn't mean we don't fellowship together and people don't have gifts and callings to teach the Word of God. Be careful about that. But there are men that God calls out to teach the Word of God. They're called elders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Oh, that goes into a whole new subject, which we talk about in a lot of our other resources. We have to discern. So, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not," that is the written word, the more sure word of prophecy, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I want you to pore over this passage. It's the last three verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the Scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God. Holy men of God spake. They wrote, they spoke, and it was recorded as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the divine person of the Holy Ghost, and that's how we got the Scriptures. I want you to memorize that part of this passage, at least that part, before you close your eyes tonight to go to sleep, beloved. I want you to memorize this. Holy men of God spake or spoken as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Again, remember, friend, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Psalm 119, the man after God's heart, David, said this, that kind of sums it all up. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The word of God is everlasting, friend. There's no end to it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever, says Isaiah 40, verse 8. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God, it's living, it's incorruptible. In fact, in 1 Peter 2, 23, it says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Notice, it's important to go back and read something, not just read it once, but the more you read over a scripture or a passage prayerfully, you pour over it. That's how you study. That's one of the ways you study. Then the word of God is going to come alive to you. The Holy Spirit is going to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. Being born again, we're born again. How? Not by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the word of God came into our hearts at one point, saints, and God began to use that seed, that incorruptible seed, to convict us and to show us Christ, show us our sins and how we needed to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ upon repentance. And that word liveth and abideth forever. That's the same word that is to you and me that lives and abides forever. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it reveals the God of heaven and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the creator and the sustainer of all life and much more. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1, verse 8. Then he says in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. There it is, friend, and I'm going to end on that note. This is the word that's being preached to you. The word that liveth and abideth forever. It endureth forever. This is the word that's being preached unto you. Now get into it, beloved, and it will get into you and lighten the eyes of your understanding and cause you to be a partaker of all the things that God has ordained you to walk in this life, in knowing him and being fruitful in the knowledge of him and in being fruitful in making him known to others. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.